Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. All right, this Mr. Beast dude on YouTube, man, I mean, he is making a name for himself. And well-deserved.
Pays for people to get their vision back, hooks people up with money.
How old is he, like 10? I mean, the guy, I mean, at such a young age.
He's like 17 now.
Yeah, I mean, really, at such a young age that he has created what he's created for himself is just, to me, it's a great inspiring story how he's become a gigantic celebrity. Really making his own money, doing his own thing, and then doing some incredible things for people with his money.
He's 24 years old. He has admittedly said that he's an obsessed fan of YouTube, and that's why this all started. Like, he just wanted to become a YouTube star, and it kind of snowballed, and then he started realizing, oh, I'm doing all these things that are kind of feel-good stories. I'm hooking people up, to get my YouTube views and get all my subscriptions up, but I'm also doing good things, and I think it created a good monster for him in a sense that he's constantly doing feel-good stories, to get all the likes and get the subscriptions and the views, but he's hooking people up with, like, life-changing stuff.
And I don't know generationally, and you know me, I love to examine the generations. I think he's a Zoomer. At 24 years old, is he Generation Z? I pretty much think he is. And he, to me, typifies success in the media world for Generation Z. He's got all this fame and he leads with his heart.
And he gives away a ton of money over
there.
And sometimes he says he's even like, he has to wait for sponsors to help pay for whatever it is because he spent all his money for these elaborate, like buying an island or like these things are ridiculous, but he's just having the most fun with his money and doing good stuff. And apparently he has 139 million subscribers, which is the most followed individual YouTuber in the world.
Yeah, and if you're a business person or if you're in the media, this is the guy to watch. This is the person to watch as far as what do I got to do to be successful, especially to appeal to a younger audience? You know, how can I be great for them? Everything he does is how you do it. I'm like, you can't do it better than this guy's doing it.
And the guy once challenged Dwayne The Rock Johnson to a game of rock, paper, scissors for $100,000.
Did that happen?
I think it did, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what? I mean, yep. I can't. Look at that. Good for you. See, the kid's brilliant because The Rock is the king of self-promotion for his generation, no doubt about it, and he uses social media very well. I hate to give him credit.
And in the end, they both donated $100,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I'm going to tell you.
So here we are talking about how great Mr. Beast is, but I'd like to hear some awesome stuff about The Rock.
Not going to happen.
Holy son of a bitch.
Yeah, sorry. Especially with this story, because I think you would think I would be totally pissed off about this story.
Okay.
Because it's reminiscent of The Rock. But is a slight difference. And this is what we're going to tell you. Again, first of all, you got miserable people on the internet. You would think that would be me.
Yes.
Because I am a miserable person, and once in a while I go on the internet. But so Mr. Beast helps out this waitress. She'd been going back and forth to work without a vehicle for months. So what did he do? He tipped her a new car. Well, he tipped her a car. And here's that moment that Amy, the waitress, received this car as a tip.
What's the biggest tip you've ever gotten?
Like $50.
$50?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever tipped a car?
This is a car key. This is not a car.
Do you want to see it? It's outside. Let's go. Right over here, you'll see your brand new car.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting you to cry.
I mean, this isn't real.
No, it is real. Just hit the unlock button. See if it makes noise.
I was literally late to work today because we were so high. I'm like in such shock right now. I don't even know how to drive.
Enjoy the car.
Thank you so much.
So, I mean, come on. That is a cool thing to do. Now, people are pissed at Mr. Beast, and there's a reason. What you don't see, unless you go to the video, which you can watch on the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com, once you see the video, you can see why people are pissed, because the car that Mr. Beast gave her is wrapped with a logo for his own food line, Mr. Beast's Feastables.
Right.
And so, yeah.
And they got, like, different snacks and different, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like a peanut butter chocolate thing called D's Nuts.
It is a great. I love that. I want to get that.
It's an explosion of peanut butter flavor.
And so a lot of folks are going, you jerk, you should have just given her a car.
That's the funny part.
Shouldn't be a walking advertisement or a riding advertisement for her.
So basically she has to do promotion for his company by driving the car. Another person's like, is he going to cover the tax on that as well? And like, maybe he is. We don't know. And who knows what, like, I don't know if he's like, hey, you need to keep the wrap on the car. He might have, like, done that for the video purposes. And then,
all right.
Like, and even so, I would drive a Feastables car if it was free. I don't give a crap. Like, she had no car.
Let's just talk about what it would cost for that car. Okay, like, if somebody said to you, if you want to buy a new car for, let's say, $35,000, $40,000, the tax on that car would be whatever the tax is, 5%, 6%, 7%, I don't know.
Right.
But what if somebody told you you could get a car just for the cost of the tax of a car? Like, if you walked into a dealer and they
sign
go,
sign me up.
Exactly. So when people use that as a thing, that girl can't get a better deal for a car than what the tax would be, and that's all she'd have to pay.
Forced to keep it. I mean, she could do whatever she wants.
Sell it if she needs to.
She could just say, no, honestly, I just don't want to deal with the burden of all that. Like, why are we mad at him? He gave her a car. Like, I'm sorry. Like, when's the last time the people who are complaining gave anybody a car?
And
if you haven't, shut the F up.
And you know me, I get mad at The Rock because I do what because The Rock does what he does. But in this particular instance, he's basically giving somebody the opportunity to work for that vehicle, because all she has to do is just let it look the way it looks, and she gets a free car.
And honestly, it's not like obnoxious. It just says Feastables on the side. It's got kind of a cool little design on it. And apparently it's a $21,000 car. It's a Toyota sedan, and it looks nice. And again, like, she doesn't want the damn wrap on it. Take it off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's a deal where she has to keep it on for a certain amount of time. I have no idea.
I would take that in a heart. Dude, I thought about that when I was younger and broker, when I was trying to get a new car. And there was a thing around town, like, that, hey, you get this car, but you have to have a giant wrap on it. Right? But it was like, you know, you had to get picked for it. I wanted to do it so bad. I didn't care what the company was. It could have been a tampon company. I wouldn't give a crap.
I was about to ask, would you be cool with a tampon company? Because when I was middle school, high school, there was a show on MTV called, like, Undressed or something. Yeah. And one guy's like, I'm going to get this cool car. It's just going to have a logo on it. It'll be fine. But I get to drive this sweet car. And it was a tampon car. And all the ladies got mad at him for not having free tampons to give away.
Well, he should have had that. That would be a good way. Joe, think about that maybe for your new way of meeting.
Oh, that's a pickup
ladies.
Line.
Yeah.
Here's some free tampons.
Would you like a tampon, lady?
Oh, I keep that one in the back pocket.
Yeah. But it's not a bad idea.
But this isn't like, it's not obnoxious. It's not like a bright purple giant logos on it. And Feastables are delicious from what I hear. So
I have not had any. So if you want to get some,
D's Nuts?
I'll take some D's Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think I'd be upset at this kid.
Why, though?
Yeah, well, because I'm upset at The Rock.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's more just The Rock. It's, you know, and also because I know it pisses you off, so that's even more why I'm upset. In reality, I have no reason to be upset at The Rock. The guy has done an amazing job with his life, and I think Mr. Beast, the same thing. At 24 years old, here's the people that are upset with him, Steve. They're envious as all hell at what he's done.
And they would take a free car in a heartbeat if he gave it to them.
And that's why I bring generations into it. If you're Gen X, if you're baby boomer, hell, even if you're an old millennial, you look at what Mr. Beast has done. He has manipulated a system that you don't even know how it works. And he's made a ton of money doing it. And he's also, for the most part, seeming like a nice guy on that system, which also pisses you off. And because that's not the way we were raised to do business. We were raised, when it comes to business, being a nice guy, you finish last. And Mr. Beast is showing you that you can actually finish pretty high being a nice guy. And people like me, boomers and some Gen Xers, are probably going, no, nice guys always finish last. He can't be a nice guy. And I love that he's breaking that mold, man.
I think it's fun. If I had all that kind of money, I think it'd be a blast to be able to just, like, do these random things, like feel good stories like that. I love the part where he's like, here's your tip. And she's like, it's a key for a car, but is there a car attached to this? Which I thought was a really funny moment. Like,
good for her.
Thanks for giving me a key fob, but what am I going to do with this? He's like, no, there's a car attached to it.
And if you look at Mr. Beast in the video, he just looks like a rando. That's what I also like about him. He just, like, if he can incognito go anywhere, as popular as he is, I would imagine that the average person as he walks in has no idea who he is, even though he's super popular.
We have talked about him several times. If he was walking around like in the kitchen right now, I'd just be thinking like he's here to work on our coffee machine.
Agreed.
And I've seen pictures of him. He's very unassuming. I would just be like, hey, nice to meet you. Are you fixing our coffee machine? Is it going to taste good now? Cool.
That's why Seattle should adopt him, because he looks like he fit right in the city. Because how many luminary celebrities and successful people do we have that look like Mr. Beast? Just rando guys. Oh, you never know.
No, I don't want this attention whore in our city.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I'm kidding.
Like I said, some Gen Xers might be jealous.
He needs to bring me some of them D's nuts.
Oh, is that what he needs to do?
They're sold out right now.
Yeah, they are sold out.
Whoa, I guess it's working.
Yeah.
It's all working.
Yeah, his website. And he also does like the pop-up restaurants or like the, isn't he have like the Beast Burger?
Yep.
Oh, really?
And I hear that's super popular. Yes. I think he goes to like Red Robin. I think it's like one of those like, you know, whatever, like those pop-up kitchens or whatever they call them.
So here's what I would like to say, you know, as a free tip for our company. You know what, Steve? I'm going to give a free tip for our company.
You know what? You shouldn't. You should charge them.
I think I will charge them, because we just have one of the high-ranking officials in our company.
Yeah.
Somebody from our company, I don't care who it is, should make a deal with Mr. Beast. And have him be a prominent face in our company. He is the future of entertainment, and the guy is amazing.
He ain't got time for us. He's like, I'm rich as all hell.
Unless we can be a vehicle for him to do good stuff like he likes to do, which we can be. We do have that kind of reach. We have an amazing reach, and what a great partnership that would be.
And if I'm Mr. Beast, I'm like, I have 159 million subscribers.
That's true.
My reach is pretty good there, BJ. Yeah.
I agree, but
I don't need to sign no deals.
Here's the thing that he doesn't have, though.
Man that follows my own.
He doesn't have the reach. We have reach that's different reach, though, in a lot of our places. So I think we make a great team.
We need to say, like, we're in cahoots with YouTube. Because I remember hearing in an interview, like, some people were like, I think it was the Joe Rogan interview that he did. It was really good. Like, he just comes off as a real likable guy. And he's like, you know, you could probably make more money just creating your own website and putting your videos there, because he has to give YouTube a cut.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I like being on YouTube. And I thought that was like I'm paraphrasing it, but it was like the most innocent thing ever. He's like, I'm such a fan of YouTube. Yeah, I can make more money without them, but I love the reach that YouTube has, and I just love being on YouTube, because he was obsessed with YouTube as a kid.
I will broker the deal if they need me to.
Oh boy,
no!
What do you mean no? I love this kid. What? How would I ruin this? I love what he does.
I'm not saying you would ruin it. I think he would. Hey, I don't think he would return your tweets. But
okay, no, that's why. That's why you got to have, like, you know, he's got to recognize that we're at least a big company and we love what he does.
Right.
But here's what, you know what the secret is?
What's
when
the
you
secret?
Any young person, especially like him, you're talking generations removed, when an old person actually says, you are amazing, you impress me, when does that ever happen for a young person? Usually young people look at old people and old people tell them how stupid they are. I mean, that's usually the dynamic.
Well, that's why you have to compliment the dancers when you're at the strip clubs, BJ.
Sure. Also, Steve, there's a Mr. Beast Burger in Puyallup.
What?
Yep.
Where?
They ordered delivery.
Wait.
So it's one of the...
It's probably through the Red Robin.
The pop-up
there's
things.
A lot.
Yeah, there's a lot in Seattle.
Really?
But definitely one in Puyallup.
You can get a Mr. Beast Burger here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think he has a plant-based one.
Ooh.
If I remember. I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, I know that's important for you.
It is.
But for me, I'm just happy they got a regular
one. Well, maybe when you have your conversation with him and you're like, hey, I'm the old guy telling you nice things, can you also recommend that he makes a plant-based burger?
Oh, now all of a sudden, now you have invested.
Never mind.
You
already got one. I don't need your help.
Yeah, Impossible Burgers, a bunch of them, actually.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you've got the Beast style, the Chandler style, and other styles.
See, I feel like,
I want
you know,
the BJ style. Yeah, you should pitch your own BJ burger.
Listen, I'm not going to pitch anything. That he's a great guy, and I wish we could work with him to do great things for him. Is there any way we, like, I just would go, if you think we could be helpful, we'd love to work with you. That's my attitude.
Oh, so it's at Safeway and Ording has his bars. I bought these nuts last night.
Wait, so he's in supermarkets? Wow, he wasn't even on Shark Tank. How'd he get in all these places?
He's not working with
He doesn't
us.
Need anybody. He doesn't even need Shark
That's
Tank.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't go in like he needs you. You go in like, we need you. Would you be willing to help us with your greatness? And can we help you be great in any way?
Okay.
Like giving stuff away. That's
tweet
how you
that.
Do it.
Just tweet him that. That's under 140 characters.
Yeah.
There's our mission statement.
Well, that's why I need
you. You don't need us. We need you.
If the company lets me be an official representative, like they let me go, I represent Odyssey.
I'm positive they would.
Yeah, you know, I feel like sometimes when I do stuff like that, then I get somebody calls me in the office and goes, well, you're not, don't do that ever again. don't say you were.
Negotiator.
That's me, baby.
You need a jingle.
All right, look, man, imagine this. Owen Wilson, you know that guy.
Never heard of him.
He had a lifetime all-access pass from the Rolling Stones given to him. Think about this. I mean, one of the biggest bands in the history of ever, and he had a lifetime all-access pass. that was taken away from him. Owen Wilson lost the pass because of something that he did at one show. What did Owen Wilson do that got his lifetime pass revoked from the Stones? You'll find out at 8:17. He'll tell you on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Owen Wilson had a lifetime all-access pass given to him by the Rolling Stones. That's actor Owen Wilson. You know him for a lot of stuff.
Wow. Yeah. That was him right there.
Yeah. And Rolling Stones, you know, they're kind of a popular band. Now, lifetime access, I mean, what do they tour every 10 years? So, I mean, I don't know how.
Do they hit the road quite a bit, though? I mean, if you're a super rich celebrity, when they go on tour, you can just travel around and go check them out.
If you do it like the Dead.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, sure. If you run around like it's a Dave Matthews Band, sure, you would love a lifetime pass, go to every city.
I wonder how, like, what kind of relationship does he have that he was able to pull that off? Like,
he's been friends with him for a while, apparently.
I wonder which member. Like, is it like, is he like homies with like Mick or Keith, or is it just like he's Owen Wilson? And of course, they're excited to see him because he's, you know, they probably seen him on into movies and stuff.
Yeah, I wonder who he bro down with, because remember, the Stones are a lot older than him.
Right.
So the idea that he can strike up a friendship with dudes that, I mean, I don't know if they've seen his movies. Maybe they have, but you're right. I'd love to know. But how about this? So he gets the lifetime pass because he is buds with the band. And then, apparently, did not last long. He got the pass revoked.
Oh.
And he's on The Late Late Show with James Corden talking about all about this.
I went to see the Rolling Stones in Argentina. We got these special laminates, all access, that were good for the rest of your life. That night at the concert, I'm kind of wandering around, and I ended up right at this place where I could look over and see Mick Jagger, and then all of a sudden he bolts during Jumping Jack Flash and comes running down, and it turns out where I was kind of part of the stage, and then someone came running over, "Get out of here, move, you're not supposed to be here." And then I get a call the next morning from Mick's security team, "Do you have that laminate?" "Yes, I still have it." "Okay, we're going to come over and pick it up."
But they revoked your whole pass?
They revoked the lifetime pass?
Yeah, the lifetime pass.
You only had it for one day.
For one show.
Oh, I feel like you should at least get a do-over.
Oh, they probably have zero tolerance. They're like, dude, what the hell? Why were you standing right there?
Yeah. Oh, man, dude.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Well, at least you got to enjoy it once, and it makes for a good story.
Yeah, sure does.
I feel like I would do something like that. Like,
unintentionally.
Green Day gives me like lifetime passes to shows, and then all of a sudden I do something and I mess it all up.
Yeah, I would hope for like a Pearl Jam lifetime pass.
Yeah.
You can travel around, and then I'm the guy that gets caught stealing a tambourine.
I was going to say,
you have
a lifetime tambourine.
Or I'm like the guy, like I push the guy out of the way, and I'm the guy who hands Eddie the tambourine. I'm like, "Here you go, Eddie. High five.
I would love good seats, but I have been backstage to so many different things, and it's not a fun time. A lot of times they're really like professional and they don't want you to mess things around. And you and I have been backstage where some of the people that we were with did not respect that, and then we ended up getting kicked out.
Oh, I remember one. I can't remember what band it was, but I remember their road crew looking on, effing radio guys. And I'm just like,
I know.
And I look at them, I'm like, dude, we don't want to be here just as much as you don't want us here, but our work wants us to do a stage announcement. So give us the freaking microphone. We'll get up there, we'll say our piece, and we'll get the hell out of your way. Like, we're only back here so we can do what we're asked to do, and then we're going to leave you guys alone. We don't think it's cool to be back here.
Yeah, it's
but if you're Owen Wilson,
yeah,
I bet like everyone's really excited to have Owen Wilson.
That's
backstage.
What I would think.
Like, if I'm Owen Wilson, yeah, like, if all of a sudden you probably like, dude, that's Owen Wilson. Hey, come on. Here's a guitar pick.
So he didn't shed light as to who he was friends with, but I don't think it was Mick.
Clearly not.
Yeah, because I think
Keith.
Probably Keith. Keith seems like he would be friends with everybody. It's funny. I'm watching that interview.
It was Charlie, and they're like, "Wow, man, Charlie passed away.
So now we're going to take the pass back because we don't really like this guy.
We never wanted him back here. Now look at him; he's crossing the line."
Dude, it's funny you brought up Charlie, because if you go see the video, you can watch the James Corden interview. We have the video clip on the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com. I thought. At first, when I'm watching this video, I thought that there's Owen Wilson next to Charlie Watts.
I kind of thought the same thing.
And then I realized, wait, Charlie's passed away. And then it's like, oh, no, that's Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
When did Jeff Goldblum turn into Charlie Watts? When did that happen?
With his hair, the way that he has his hair styled. it looked just like him. Like, is it super gray?
Yeah, they have a similar facial structure. I totally didn't recognize
that. They both have that kind of like that cool look to them. Like, yeah. Their hair is like that artsy fartsy kind of like part. And I mean that in a very endearing way, of course. Yeah, it's got the swoop.
And they're very uncomfortably close to each other. Like on a talk show, I feel like Jeff and Owen are too close. I thought Owen, because Owen was using his hands to tell the story, I thought he was going to knock Jeff's glasses off.
Owen looks like he's at a gentleman's club. He's sitting on his hands right now, yeah, so that he doesn't touch.
His legs are open, too. That's not good, man. Yeah.
That shows where our brains are. I was like, oh, he's at the principal's office. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm in trouble.
At the gentleman's club. He's like, yo, if I sit on my hands can't go anywhere they're not supposed to go.
I can't get kicked out.
That's right. Sit on your hands, sir.
What a and I have to tell you, Jeff Goldblum's a trippy guy. Just to be on the same set or even in an interview with and next to that guy, because even he goes, really, man? Wow, you didn't get that? You lost the ticket, eh? I mean, just that way Jeff is.
He has that look to him. All right, so Danny's going with probably Green Day for a lifetime all access pass. Is that what we're thinking?
Oh yeah.
A Pearl Jam for me, I would imagine, like especially because that band always does different shows in every town that they go in. So that would be a lot of fun to travel.
That's funny you say that, because like most people would think like Offspring for me, but the Offspring, they kind of do the same show every single time.
Right.
Green Day mixed it up.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going with Green Day.
That's why Pearl Jam. And Gloria Sons would be another one too. Like I love the fact that they always change up their sets. And
nice.
So it makes every show a fun experience. All right. So Vicky, who are you going with? Lifetime backstage pass. Don't F it up.
Oh, it's going to be In This Moment, because they always put on a ridiculous show. Costume changes, like pyrotechnics, amazing dancers with masks, and all this craziness. It is phenomenal.
And honestly, I agree. They put on a great show. I wouldn't even abuse the Lifetime pass to like hang out backstage. Mm-hmm. I would just be in the common area, like the general admission area where you like, you know, the pit, just to be able to like not have to deal with anything. I could just flash the pass and go wherever I want. But I wouldn't abuse the privilege.
Yeah, it depends on whether you're if you really are friends with somebody, that's different because they're happy to see you.
Yeah.
And you're smart enough to know that they actually are doing a job and you don't want to get in the way, because you get it. You know, you go, hey, how good to see you, Jim. We'll talk to you later. You know, that kind of a thing. But yeah, I'm like you. I don't need to be backstage.
No. In fact, I prefer not to be. Like, yeah. But okay, so for you, BJ.
Does it have to be music? Because, I mean, here's the thing that they do
a lot.
Well,
I'd like to hear your answer. My first thought was, come on, man. Yes, of course it does. But what are you thinking?
All right. Well, okay. All right. Musically, I would love to be backstage. God, you know what, dude? The way you talk about the Gloria Sons, I think I would like to be backstage for those guys. I would have definitely said Avril Lavigne or my boys Collective Soul. Even though you guys hate them, I still love them.
I've had a couple fun experiences with the Gloria Sons backstage where a lot of tequila has been drunk and Brett the singer ends up with like Sharpie on his face, and like it's a very, very fun-loving group of guys.
But you know what? We're fortunate, because when we do Pain in the Grass, we get to be backstage with so many different bands. And like last year, we were backstage with Thunder Pea. And I love those. Those guys are awesome. They were so fun. And so if it's an experience like that, that's the kind of experience I want. You don't always get that with some of the bands that you go, I can't wait to be backstage with the band, big band that we play. And you realize they just don't want you.
I remember with the Gloria Sons being in the back at the Showbox. And I was like a beaten dog. Like I went back there and I'm like, I just pushed up against a corner as humanly possible, because I'm like, stay out of everybody's way. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yes.
And then I start talking, and I'm like, wait, you guys know I'm here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel like you're in the way, but I was like, I was doing the stage announcement, but I was like, I just want to stay out of their way. But then they're so endearing and so conversational. I'm like, wait, you're not like all the other bands. Well, you're actually happy to see us.
It's funny you say that, because like, there's been times, I mean, I've been going to concerts since I was 12 years old, and sometimes like you see a band and you meet them and they're super cool back when they're like super small, and then you see them years later, and they're just like, you can tell they've gone past that, forgot who they were. They don't want anyone like going in certain places backstage, and it's like, what happened? Come on, guys, like remember where you
came
from.
The road, man, it hardened them, brah.
So,
someone said backstage for Metallica.
Ooh,
okay. That's a good, can't argue with that.
I would like that one if the band likes you. Like, obviously.
Yes.
Because they always jam before their shows. Like, they have an actual jam room. Like, they have a practice space in the facility, like in the venue. Like, they'll have drums, amps, and they just kind of like warm up that way.
Yeah.
And that'd be a blast to be able to just like sit back and just watch them get ready. And like,
haven't you been there not knowing if you were liked or not?
Oh, I was positive we weren't liked.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I was back there, and we were and James Hetfield. Well, no, in all fairness, Lars was really cool. Kirk was beyond cool. Like, Kirk Hammett might be the nice. Robert Trujillo, also very nice. and I'm not saying this is a negative thing towards James Hetfield because he's one of my favorite rock stars and still like a bucket list to get like a picture with the guy and talk to him, but he was in the zone.
Yeah.
And he walked in and there were two people in that room that were not in Metallica and he told us to leave. He's like, what are you guys doing here? Get out.
Yep, that's it.
And it wasn't like he was like being like, get the F out. He was like, what do you got? And he's like, you guys got to get out. It wasn't like, he was very abrupt about it, but like, yeah. I didn't leave thinking.
Very direct.
I didn't think he was a jerk. I was like, this is his world and we're in it.
Still a horrible feeling knowing that you're in the wrong place.
I did press my ear up against the door and listen.
Oh, did you? Good for you.
I was so nervous I didn't open up that door. Like, what if James Hetfield opened up that door?
Oh, and there you
and
are.
I've got my ear up
and
against
you're
the
that
door.
Guy.
Hey, you're James. That guy.
Did you have a glass like the old school TV shows?
If one was near me, I would have used it, DJ.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. How about you, Joey D's, if you can be backstage anywhere?
Oh, that'd be easy. I just pick Taylor Swift and rent out the pass.
And rent out the pass.
Oh, I get it. He's involved for the financial game.
It's not a bad idea. It's just like the biggest thing that's ever been a thing.
But you'd lose that pass in one show.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, maybe. But I'd get a lot of money for it.
See, up until you said rent out the pass, I'm like, damn it, that's a great answer. I get to be backstage and hang out with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
In for that.
Well, you get to do it the first time, then you rent it out.
Now, see, what you do, Joe, is if you're able to score, like, a pass that includes a guest, that's how you get the ladies.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Oh, yeah, there's
no way. Want to come see Taylor Swift with me?
Yeah, if you walked around anywhere, everyone would be like, yes, I would,
yeah. I would do things to Joe for an opportunity.
I put so far out, it would be ridiculous, yeah.
Oh, that's not
so it said, well, how was Stone Temple Pilots? They could not be nicer. They wanted to know how they were backstage.
Oh, yeah, dude, I mean.
They were. It was almost, like, yeah. it was
awesome.
It was overwhelmingly nice. Like it was very cool to see a band on that level. Like they've toured a lot, and they don't have to be nice. They couldn't be sweeter to everybody that they had a chance to talk to. Like I saw them taking pictures with everybody, all the radio people, engaging in conversation, and of course, my experience was on another level because I got to play drums that day. But like I watched how they were to everybody else, and it wasn't like they treated me any different because like, oh, he's playing drums, we should be nice to him.
Yeah, you know, and our business hasn't done itself any favors. And when I say our business, I'm going to talk about the talent end. Dude, I just watched a podcast recently with Tom Segura, the comic, and David Cross.
Okay.
And, oh, they ripped our business apart because of, you know the kind of people. We go to our conventions, and the kind of people that are just jackasses to everybody in any other industry when they're on the show or they're backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks your heart because, you know, it's just professional. If you're a professional, if you just hold yourself as a professional, everybody will like you in every other industry. They'll go, all right, this dude's a professional. But man, you know, the reason why we have to wonder when we go backstage anywhere is because they know we're in this business and we end up taking a lot of arrows for what other people
There's
in our business have done.
There's a lot of dorks in our industry.
You're right.
Dorks know dorks, but for different reasons. But
yeah.
There are some that just don't understand, like, hey, act like you've been here, or at least if you can't act that way, then don't be back there.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And it sucks, man. This is a recent interview, and I love comedy, and, you know, and, oh, man, they just ripped our business apart, and I'm just like, you know, and again, like you said, it's because of the dorks, man, and it breaks my heart, because I feel like you and I and everybody on this show, we do act like we've been there. We even act better than that. We go, thank you for letting us be here, mm-hmm. and, you know, and just even, you know, walking around here, and we hope we don't get in the way. We don't want to get in the way, and we'll even leave if you want us to.
Gold standard of radio talent.
Okay, finally.
It's about time that people recognize.
It's finally been said.
You know, we have to stop being humble about it.
Now, here's the deal.
Okay,
I would like backstage passes to movie premieres.
Huh?
Oh, dude, whenever they have a movie or a TV show, sometimes they're doing it, they'll have a world premiere where they have a live audience in a theater.
Okay.
But only select people get to do that. Like, you're the first person to see whatever. And now TV shows are doing it.
Oh, I was like, why do you want to be in the backstage of a movie? You can't
and
watch
the people
movie
are
then.
There. Like, the people are there.
Like, the actors, like a red carpet event almost?
I got to do that one time for Star Trek II that came out.
Okay.
And because Simon Pegg, even though you say he's not in front of our show, but I think he is. He's my buddy.
I mean, he just acts like he is.
But he let me come back there and host the whole thing. And, dude, it's such a great experience because here I am hanging with all of the luminaries of that movie that are going to be out. I also got to do it for Kevin Smith. And Kevin Smith is such a fantastic dude when you're on stage with him or when you're backstage. You know, I'd never met him personally, but we've had him on the show.
Another guy like that.
Exactly.
Doug's always great. That's a good guy to bring up.
Love to be part of that every time because, man, it is such a fun thing because, you know me, I love movies, TV. I love that kind of stuff. I love comedy. So I would love to have a backstage pass to all of those kind of things.
Like, that's how it was. Like, that experience when I got to do with All Elite Wrestling, when I got to be one of the extras and actually have a match.
Yeah.
Was, I would be okay with never having a match, but just touring with them and being in that back area. Because, A, they treat everybody like gold, which I thought was really cool to see. Nobody was treated like they were... They didn't put anyone, make anyone feel that they were beneath them or whatever. Like, but really, at the end of the day, the catering, BJ... is on another level. It was an experience of a lifetime. Like, and they change it every show. Because, like, yeah. The Seattle catering was different than the Portland catering. And they got something for everyone. Desserts. BJ,
oh, God.
You would gain a billion pounds in one month.
I don't know how great this is. Dude, the wrestling...
Which is, like, a funny, like, almost like a joke on the wrestlers. Because some of these guys are just, like, they got muscles on top of muscles. And they have that because they're very good and disciplined with what they eat.
Yeah.
And then all you go back there and it's, like, a giant cheesecake.
Oh.
And you're like, what are you doing? I'd be so mad if I'm one of the wrestlers. Like, you, what are you... Dude! This is a body business, brother, and you're making me have all these damn cheesecakes in front of me?
Isn't that like a thing with like competitive, like when you're muscly and you want to look veiny, you're supposed to consume sugar?
Oh, okay. Is that true?
I watched like a bodybuilding documentary once. I don't know why. It was on. And it was
Vicky
about,
is the expert on everything that she's never done, but what she's watched.
Well, it was about women doing it, and so they were consuming candy and soda right before so their veins would pop.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. See, I only use Viagra for that.
Anyways.
I see some of the guys I know in the world of wrestling, they've been doing that. I don't know if this is a new thing, but they're putting hot sauce on their skin.
Well,
or like some kind of like hot.
What?
Like, it darkens the skin and it brings like, it almost like, it brings out the veins. I don't understand.
Whoa. I didn't know veins was a thing you wanted to see in people. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, it makes the whole like looking vascular. It's like,
So that's an intentional look?
For a lot of bodybuilders, absolutely.
I didn't realize that. I thought there was just like, there was something wrong with them.
No, if you're showing a lot of veins, that means that you're like,
I don't like that.
You got muscles.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big thing for a lot of guys and girls, obviously.
You know what? I guess,
you don't like people being veiny?
I don't like. No, I really don't.
See, I'm very vascular on my forehead.
You really are.
So many bodybuilders are jealous of this vein on my forehead.
Now I know why.
Yeah.
I can't. There's places I don't want to go now. With that conversation,
then don't go there.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Instead, I'm going to tell you. Yesterday, Steve was wrong about this.
In Saved by the Bell, the main characters create a band called what?
The Killers.
No.
I don't know. Damn it. Oh, boy. I'm going to go with Gem and the Hologram.
No.
Sorry. Steve.
Pearl Jam.
No.
Wow. You're disappointed, Dan.
I sat in Danny, but he didn't even know it.
He didn't know it either. He knew the song they sang and thought that was the name of the band.
Yeah.
There is somebody on Saved by the Bell named Zach, right?
Yeah,
Zach Morris.
Okay. I don't watch the show. I never watched the show.
Come on, BJ.
It's after my time, jerks. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a guy named Jerry on the show Seinfeld.
That was during my time, Steve.
It's just like you need to know these things.
You know, there's a guy named Batman in Batman.
Yeah.
Okay. What's his, you know, what's his name?
Bat.
His name is Bat.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Okay.
Got one guess on what his last name is.
You know what? I feel like I have been roped into another conversation with morons. I'm getting out of this.
We are the gold standard of radio professionals. What are you talking about?
Not about that, yeah. Somebody tell Tom Segura and David Cross, come to see us, buddy. We're the gold standard. All right. Zach Attack, by the way, was the answer. You wanna beat Steve? You got it. 206-803-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 or 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.